So as we mentioned before, tonight's tzaddik of the week, yahrzeit of the week, is a pshayla from Karastir, Gimel Iyar, and thanks to Moshe Rosenbaum, every shayla shudis, every malava malka, is sponsored in the schus, in the ilay neshama of pshayla, and it should be a schus for Moshe and his rebbetzin. So, I'm going to share some stories about Reb Shaila, the great tzaddik from Karastir.
Yahrzeit Monday.
Yahrzeit Monday. Gimel Iyar. Gimel Iyar. Yeah. A very unique tzaddik. As is well known that the mitzvah of Reb Shaila was the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, of feeding Yidden. As he remarked, he says, the other Rebbes are Razid the Razin, they're involved in secrets, and I'm involved in the slave of Eloy LeRazin, making sure that Yidden are fed well, that they're taken care of. It's a mistake to think that the only people who were influenced by the chesed and the generosity of Reb Shaila were only the people who were in his chatzar. And there were many, many, many. A regular Shabbos can have hundreds of people. That was regular by him. But to think that the only people who were mushba from the tzaddik of Shaila were the people who were actually eating his bread is a very big mistake. The Gemara says that in the schus of Chanina Beni, the whole world gets parnasa, the whole world gets hatzlacha. Because for Chanina Beni, it's da'ilo b'kav charuvim l'shavua, that for Mishabbos to Shabbos, that for Chanina ben Daisa, just the smallest amounts were enough for him. And because he took so little, he had a way of making sure that the whole welt, literally, the parnasa for Gans Yisrael was in the schos of Chanina Beni. And there's a very hidden world about Reb Shaila, which I want to discuss a little bit. We'll share some stories about his generosity, how he became a Rebbe from Hachnasas Orchim and the chesed which he did. But there's a very hidden world about Reb Shaila. You don't just become a person who has such powerful influence just because you wake up one day and you're like, I want to feed Yidden. Many of us have those intentions and we would like to do good. But the fact that somebody who even that he mamish had nothing, wasn't a person who had a source of parnasa, yet there was never not enough. And if there wasn't not enough, then things orchestrated their way. And it was through his bitachin and it was through his emuna and his tefillos. And there's a secret world of Reb Shaila. Then in the Chitzonius, you looked at Reb Shaila, and people wondered, like, how is this a Rebbe? There was never a Rebbe like this. The Tzaddik from Kashoy, Reb Shaul Baruch, he once was traveling with Reb Shaila on a train, and Reb Shaila, in his great humility, although he was the Mavugar, the older one, he wouldn't sit in a way that it was as if he was like the Rebbe, like he sat across from him and they schmoozed. And Reb Shaul Baruch was like one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Mamash Shas and Poiskim on his fingertips. And he schmoozed with Reb Shaila in learning and in life, and he saw the Kedusha of Reb Shaila. And he said afterwards, he says that the Chassam Sofer says that there was never a Jew who was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh that wasn't a master in Shas and Poiskim. And he says that apparently the Chassam Sofer never met Reb Shaila. Because although he wasn't known to be a person who was a Baki in Shas and Poiskim, although he knew Torah very good and he knew Halacha very good too, but he was a person that, although there were Rebbes that of the Gimel Amudei HaOlam, that through their Torah they were zeichet to Ruach HaKodesh, they were zeichet to the Madrigas, and this one through his tefillas was zeichet to Ruach HaKodesh. Not that the goal is Ruach HaKodesh, that's not the goal. But Reb Shaila said Reb Shaul, he was zeichet to his Ruach HaKodesh, to his Midah of Gemilas Chassadim. When he was young, he had a kesher with the Divrei Chaim. His Rebbe was the Liskarov, the author of the Sefer Ach Pi L'Tua, Betzvi Hirsch from Liska. And everybody in the times of the Divrei Chaim, of the Tzantzarov, was machnil themselves to the Divrei Chaim. As long as the Divrei Chaim was around, it was the world of the Divrei Chaim. That's it. His yotze was last week in Chafei Nisan. I have so many stories about the Divrei Chaim and the godless of the Divrei Chaim. In fact, speaking of which, we should just mention that the Shin of a Rav said about his father, about the Divrei Chaim, he says, and the Shin of a Rav was an Ish Emes. He never said anything out of his mouth which wasn't 100%, 110%. He says, it could be that my father was not the greatest Talmud Chacham in the generation. And it's also possible that he wasn't the biggest Baal Tefillah in the generation either. And it could be that he also was not the greatest Baal Chesed in the generation. But to have all three things, there was nobody like him in the generation. They said that the Divrei Chaim, there was for 24/7, he was Isaac in Torah, Tefillah, and Gemilas Chassadim. This one saw him doing Torah, this one saw him doing Chesed, this one saw him doing Tefillah. He was always involved in the Gimel Mudei Olam. So one of his great Talmidim in the realm of Gemilas Chassadim, although he wasn't a Talmud Muvok of the Divrei Chaim, he was a Talmud Muvok of the Tzvi Hirsch. But he came to the Divrei Chaim, and it was a very life-changing moment for him. Then on the way to the Divrei Chaim, he traveled together with the Liska Rav, and on the way, everywhere Tzvi Hirsch stopped, he received Pidyonis, and people would give him Kvitlach and get Brachis. And since he was the Gabbai, so he also amassed a small fortune. When they came to Tzanz to spend time by the Tzaddik, it was on Erev Shabbos, and the Liskarov went to go take a rest. And Reb Shaila said that he was going to go to see the Avodah of the Divrei Chaim on Erev Shabbos, and he showed up. And the Divrei Chaim, he took care of so many tzrachim, he didn't go to sleep with anything in his pockets. Like, he gave out so much money for chesed and stucco. It was incredible. And he was involved in a certain inyan before Shabbos that he needed money. So as soon as he spotted Reb Shaila, he said to him, younger man, do you have any money to give for this cause? So Reb Shaila said, yeah. He just, on the way here, he remembered that he had some money to give. So he took out the entire wad of money and he gave it to Divrei Chaim. So the minig of the Divrei Chaim, that on the night, Friday night after davening, he would give out brachas to his children and his grandchildren and to other yechidei skula who had come for the Shabbos. And that night, although Reb Shaila was not known as anything yet, he gave a bracha to Reb Shaila. And when he gave him the bracha, he said to him, Toiv ayin b'vayrach. The Gemara says, based on the pasuk, and Shlomo HaMelech says, "Tayv ayin hu yivayrach," that a person who has a good eye, he gets brachas and he has the koyach bracha. And since he had given over this money to the Divrei Chaim b'tayvas ayin, so he was called out by the Divrei Chaim for this bracha. And when he gave him the bracha, he said, "Tayv ayin b'vayrach," that he gets a bracha also. And it was said that years later, this bracha was mekuyim of the Divrei Chaim, that the kayach bracha and the giving nature of Reb Shaila Kiristir goes back to this instant that he had with the Divrei Chaim. When the Divrei Chaim was older, in his later years, he couldn't have Malava Malka. He wasn't able to eat it. So what he did was that instead of having Malava Malka, he would prepare Malava Malka for others. And he would choose Chassidim to prepare Malava Malka for them. And once again, there was a very young Reb Shaila who was there for Shabbos, and he chose Reb Shaila, together with the Rebbe from Dash, to be the ones that he prepared Malava Malka for. For everybody else, this didn't make any sense, that here there were these two young Tzeirim who had come, and nobody knew who they were. But he chose Reb Shaila, and he chose the Rebbe from Dash. And it was before they were even married, and it was like he was mishamish them. Later on, when people saw what became of these two tzaddikim, did they see Baruch Kachay of the Devei Chaim? It wasn't stam just two bachrim. That he was being mishamish them because he saw the godless that was waiting for them. It was also the Devei Chaim. It was the Devei Chaim. And there's various stories after the passing of the Liskei Rav. It wasn't so pashut that the Reb Shaila would be Mamali Makom. He would take over the Rebbeshkeit from Reb Tzvi Hirsch. Because Reb Tzvi Hirsch had children who were also big gedolim, and there was a lot of tension, and there was a lot of machos taking place that it didn't belong to Reb Shaila. And once one of the children of Yusva, the tzaddik of Yusva, who was the son of the Liskei Rav, he went to the Divrei Chaim to object to the fact that Reb Shaila should be the Rebbe. But at the Friday night Suda, the Tzanzer Rav, he called over Reb Shaila, and he said to him, he called him the Liskei Rav. He called him the Liskei Rav. And when he called him the Liskei Rav, and he said to him, "Erzal talfin Yidden vater zayn poyal Yeshuas, you're going to be poyal Yeshuas, and you're going to help Yidden." So he passed on him that he would be the Liskei Rav. They were still machlekesin, and the tzaddik of Mordechai from Nadvorna, Rav Matel from Nadvorna, told him that he should move to Kerestir. And that's where he set up his Rabbanis in Kerestir. And the Divrei Chaim was a very influential figure in the life of Reb Shaila. I want to share some stories again. Stories to learn from. There are some very impressive Moisimtika stories. Maybe we'll share one or two of them. But there's something to be learned about the hospitality and the givingness and the Avas Yisrael which he had. I'll just share one Maisapella first as a Hakdam about Reb Shaila. That we know that when World War I broke out, there were many Yidden who were trying to escape, that they shouldn't be enlisted in the army. And one of the places that they would run to, hundreds, perhaps thousands would run to, was to find refuge by Reb Shaila in Hungary. And these Yidden were called the Tamer ben Elamniks. The Tamer ben Elamniks. And because they would run away. They were not seen, they were hiding. They went into hiding. And they came to the house of Reb Shaila for refuge. And he provided for them for months, even for years. He took care of all these needs, l'malo min hateva, the way Reb Shaila style. And word got out that Reb Shaila was providing for these Yidden. And so the Polish leader had heard that they were in Kerestir. And it was very hard to harden Kerestir because it was a very small town. And the fact that there were many hundreds, perhaps thousands of people there was a clear giveaway that people were there who didn't belong. So the leader of the Polish government, he would ask the authorities, the local authorities, to find out, you know, if there were any people of his who had escaped there, and to go and observe and to find out what's going on. So again, Reb Shaila to the rescue. Not only was he providing for these people to make sure they had what to eat and where to stay, but he also paid off the local officials so that nobody would say anything to the government. But it was still very fishy, and they were very suspectful of what was going on in Kerestir. So a very important general came to Kerestir together with armed men to take a look on site to see what's going on over there. And everybody was very afraid, and they didn't know what to do, because they thought this was for sure going to be the end of them. But Reb Shaila was a big Babi Tochen, and he told them they shouldn't be afraid. And he told them, "Has nishkein meira, nobody should be afraid. Yedizal arayngin in Beis HaMedrash, everybody should go to the Beis HaMedrash, and nem in a Gemara, go learn a Gemara, on a raifigin the cup, and put your head in it. Put your head in the Gemara." Okay. So everybody went to the Beis Medrash. They listened to what the tzaddik said. They put their head in the Gemaras and they started to learn. So the person who tells over this story, Rav Tzvi Elimelech Feirishman, so he said he was one of these people. And then they heard that the door had opened to the Beis Medrash and the general had walked in. Together with these men, Reb Shail was leading the way. And everybody was very afraid, but they listened to the tzaddik and they kept their head in and they were learning Gemara. They were pashut, everybody was learning Gemara. You can imagine, this was a Beis Medrash which was filled with hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. And Reb Shail is walking and he's saying to the general, he says, look, there's nobody there, there's nobody here, there's nothing going on. And the general is walking up and down the aisles and he's looking around and he mamish sees nothing. Doesn't see it. Doesn't stop anybody, doesn't say anything. Ki'ilu doesn't see anything. One of the guards goes over to the Aron Kodesh and he says to the general, he's like, maybe there's some Yidden who are hiding in the Aron Kodesh. So he says back to this, he says, we're not here to find two people. How many people could fit in the Aron Kodesh? Two people, three people. We're here to find hundreds of people. What does it matter if there's going to be a few people hiding in the Aron Kodesh? And everybody's listening to this, and there's hundreds of people sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they're all continuing to learn. So the general turns to Reb Shail and he says, everybody called him the Wonder Rabbi, the Chodah Rabbi. Everybody called him the Wonder Rabbi. He actually had a special name that the Goyim called him. He was very well known and very, very feared and very respected by everybody. So he says, now I know you are Wonder Rabbi because we heard reports that there are hundreds of people here in Keres Deir and we see that they're not here. And again, they're there in the room. These people are there. But we see that they're not here. You're clearly a Wonder Rabbi. That's what happened. But in his bitachin, in the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was praying Yeshua's not just to feed Yidden, but to save their lives day after day. How many lives Shiloh was responsible for. Of course, this Toivas Ayin of B'Shaila came from the fact that he loved every Jew. The Tzanzer Rebbe, Zichus Yogin Aleinu, told over that he had heard from a chassid about Reb Shaila that once his son got very sick and they tried to, and he was crying very much, Reb Shaila. And the doctor came and they said, don't worry, Rebbe, he's gonna make it. Everything is okay. You don't have to cry so much. He's going to make it. So Shaila turned to the doctor and he says, you think that I'm crying because of my son. The reason why I'm crying is because I worked my whole life that I should love every single Jew equally without any difference between my son or any other Jew. And now that I see that when my son is sick, I'm not having the same compassion and the same rachmanis as I have when people come and tell me their tzaras about their children. For this I'm crying. Because I see that all my work in Avos Yisrael, I haven't come very far in my own avodah. These are the tears of the tzaddik. The Munkacher Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, he had heard about Reb Shaila and his midah of Gemilas Chasadim, and he very much wanted to meet Reb Shaila. So Hashem had it that they both met because it was customary for the tzaddikim at that time to go to the Mitzion of Reb Isaacle Kalver on the yard of Reb Isaacle. We spoke about Reb Isaacle, if you remember, about a couple months ago, maybe a month or two ago, on his yard site. And in fact, the trip which we took to Hungary with the Ish Kodesh Chevra, so we stopped off at Reb Shaila's and also by Reb Isaacle. We didn't get to go to the Lisker Rav, actually. Time didn't permit. And the Minchas, we went to the Minchas Elazar too. Minchas Elazar also. So the Minchas Elazar and Reb Shaila, they met at the Tzin of Reb Isaacle. And after davening there, so Reb Shaila, he made a tish. Neitish wanted to feed Yidden, of course. And so, when Reb Shaila sat down to make tish, so the Minchas Elazar saw what was going on. Reb Shaila had already washed. And he called over the Minchas Elazar to join them. He gestured to him. He said, no, And he prepared a seat next to him for the Minchas Elazar. So the Minchas Elazar sits down. And Reb Shaila, he takes the chalas and he makes hamaitzi. And before putting any piece of bread into his mouth, of challah into his mouth, he starts to peel away at the crust of the bread. And he's peeling. And this is taking some time. And the Minchas Elazar is sitting there, and he's the Paisik Adar, Minchas Elazar. And he bangs on the table and he goes, Nu Hefsik! Hefsik! So Bshayla Ilu ignores the Minchas Elazar, and he's peeling. As soon as this piece of bread is clear from any of the crust, he runs to the other side of the table and he hands it to an elderly yid, and he comes back to his spot, cuts himself a slice, puts it in his mouth, cuts another slice, hands it to the Minchas Elazar. And he says to the Minchas Elazar, he said to him, as soon as I made the bracha of Hamaitzi, I saw across the room that this elderly yid, that he was very, very hungry. And he was on the verge of pikuach nefesh. And I also saw that he had no teeth. So my first priority was to make sure that this yid had something to eat. So I had to peel it. Because I knew he wouldn't be able to eat the bread if it had the crust on it. So I asked him, Minchas Elazar, he said to him, which is more firm? A hefsik or the rachmanas? Which is more firm? And according to Gemara and Brachas, as a raya to that, he knew how to learn also Bshayla. He was taking stock of the oilam that was there. It wasn't just stop making hamaitzi. It wasn't just like it was nice to have a lot of people at the tish. It was his care and concern for every single Jew that he noticed that this yid needed something, needed it right away. There's other stories about Reb Shaila, people who would come to him. He knew right away how much they needed to eat and how quickly they needed to eat. Of course, he was given that siyata to the Shmaya because this was his inyan. But it was somebody because of his tremendous avos Yisrael that he was able to see and to discern the matzav and to know how to play it. Another story which expresses the sensitivity of Reb Shaila. So Rabbi Yaakov Halberstam, who was one of the grandsons of the Debrei Chaim, he had to run from Poland. He had to escape. He was one of the Tamar Ben Elams who made it to the house of Reb Shaila, and Reb Shaila begged him to stay. He was a grandson of the Debrei Chaim. He begged him to stay for Purim and to stay for Pesach, and he agreed. And when it came to the Seder, so he sat Rabbi Yaakov Halberstam right next to him. And there was also a Seder for about 30 other people who were there, all types of Yidden who had Seder by Bshaila. And there was one broken Yid who was there, who was reaching for something at the table, and he knocked over the bottle of wine, and it spilled on the matzahs of Bshaila. The matzahs mitzvah were now drenched in wine. So of course Bshaila was very composed, and he didn't react b'chlal. And Reb Shaila said, don't worry, just bring out the matzahs for tomorrow night. So they bring the matzahs from tomorrow night, they put it on the table. So as the suit is going on, all of a sudden the table starts to shake, and the wine falls down, spills on the matzahs. And Reb Shaila gets up and he says, who made a table like this? Who put a table together like this that it's so wobbly, that the table, that it can't keep the wine standing straight? Now the... Look, all over the table. So Yaakov Halberstam, who's telling over the story, he saw that Reb Shaila, the table didn't just stomp wobble, Reb Shaila was kicking the table with his legs. And because he would kick the table with his legs, and he shook it, it caused the wine to spill on the second set of matzahs. Reb Shaila wanted to alleviate the embarrassment from the yid who spilled on the first matzahs, that he caused the spill of the second time, so that this yid shouldn't be embarrassed. Which means to say that he passed his matzahs for the first night and for the second night, so that this yid shouldn't suffer an embarrassment. Probably had matzahs somehow also. I'm sure he found a way to get matzahs too. But just the sensitivity. The sensitivity of Shiloh. Now, I want to speak for a moment about the hidden world of Reb Shaila. Moshe, do you know all these stories already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe you don't know this one. Let's see. So, the people who came to the house of Shiloh, there were many big Talmid Chacham who came also, and everybody wanted a piece of Shiloh. And people who came for Shabbos Kodesh, who wanted to get in on the malacha, on the avoid, on the mitzvah, so they would help him prepare in the kitchen, different things. And once a conversation occurred in the kitchen that there were two chashva yidin who were preparing the food, and one said to the other one, "What brings you here? What brings me here?" He says, "We don't hear a lot of tiras from him. We don't see from his tefillas that there's anything special. He's not a very, very sweet baal tefila either. So what are we doing here?" So at that time, Reb Shaila was walking past, and he was dressed very chilled, I guess, and he had a chumash in his hand, and he was going around the house. He was saying Shnayim Mikra Bechatargam on Erev Shabbos. And he was up to the pasuk in Shnayim Mikra, it was Parshas Vayeshev. And the pasuk was, Ein sar beis hasaya, roya es kol ma'uma biyadai, v'asher Hashem yitoi, v'asher hu oise Hashem matzliach. That it says about Yosef, that the sar beis hasaya, when Yosef was in jail, that the officer in charge of the jail didn't see anything. Ein sar beis hasaya, roya es kol ma'uma biyadai. Literally it means that he didn't check up on Yosef, on anything that he was doing, because he trusted him. V'asher Hashem yitoi, because Hashem was with him, and everything he did, Hashem made it matzliach. And this is the pasuk which he said out loud to these two yidden in the kitchen. And of course, what he was implying to them was, Ein sar beis hasaya roya es kol ma'uma biyadai. Nobody was able to see anything about Reb Shaila. You couldn't see anything with your own eyes. You couldn't see anything about Reb Shaila. But what you did see was, V'asher Hashem itai, that Hashem was with him, and everything he did, he was matzliach. And this pasuk is very appropriate. And like all the stories of tzaddikim, you can teach them. You can teach them like a pnimius be'ion. I think to understand this story, you have to know something else about Reb Shaila. Once there was a guest who came, and the chalos by Reb Shaila were very, very big chalos. There's stories about the chalos of Reb Shaila. They needed like a horse to push the chalos into the oven. I can imagine like what type of an operation this was. But the chalos were very large. By Reb Shaila, they were very large. And once a guest had come and he looked at the chalos of Reb Shaila and he said, "Wow, look at these chalos." And Reb Shaila, when he heard this, he says, "Why are you so mispala from the chalos? You should be more mispala from my knife. Because when I cut the chalos with my knife, there aren't any crumbs which I make when I cut the chalos." You know the story, Moshe? No. This is a very important story. So what was he referring to? Because the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us, Yisrael Yosef says, that after a person cuts the chalos and there are crumbs, you should be very careful with those crumbs, that by eating those crumbs, it's a tikkun for the aveiros of Pagam Bris. And Reb Shaila said that when I cut my chalas, there are no crumbs. My knife doesn't make any crumbs. In fact, when Reb Shaul Bruch used to speak about Reb Shaila, he used to say two things about Reb Shaila. One, of course, is the well-known Reb Shaila, that Reb Shaila, the Hachnasas Orchim was Lahafle. But what he would also say about Reb Shaila is that never in his life was he ever Poigim in his bris. Never in his life. The fact that there were no crumbs by the challahs of Bshaila meant to say that there was no need for him to make any tikkunim in Pagambris. That he was so nizar, that he was so careful. And of course, we don't know what goes on behind the closed doors of the tzaddikim and how careful we are in Shmiras HaBris. But one thing is for sure is that the chinuch that we have or that we know of what's called Shmiras HaBris, like by tzaddikim, that's like Chilul HaBris. We don't have a chinuch in these things. We don't even know the degree of how much. Like the Gemara says about Yehuda HaNasi, that never in his life did he ever put his hands below his belt. His hands were always above his belt. Never did they go below. To think that you could just be a Reb Shaila and to be Zeichad, to be able to feed Yidden and to bring Parnas into the world for all Yidden, just because you have a Ratzon and a Gutzkeit that you want to do that without thinking, without knowing that there's something going on behind closed doors in the world of Reb Shaila, that his Kedusha and his Midas HaYesod and Shmiras HaBris, to think that these two things do not go hand in hand is a very, very serious misunderstanding. The Chazal tells us about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was the one who prepared and he gave food. He was mafarnes the whole world when the whole world was in a state of ra'av. Yosef was the one chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he was the mafarnes. He was the one who gave food to Yaakov and to the brothers and to the Al Yidden, to all Eretz Mitzrayim. And the reason why he was zeichet to that midas hayesayid, which is the midah of giving, which is the midah of the giver, the mashpia, was because he was shomer habris par excellence. Yosef is the tzaddik for all generations. Yosef a tzaddik. And it was only after the nisayon with Eishes Potifar that he had conquered that taiva, that yitzhara, did he go into the lowest of lows, and then he became the Melech Mitzrayim, the Mishnah LeMelechim. The Torah calls Yosef the Tzaddik Hu HaMashbir, that he breaks bread, that he gives bread to Mitzrayim, to the Yidden who were there. Yaakov Avinu says, looks at me, Yeshever b'Mitzrayim. I see that there's a breaking in Mitzrayim. Shever means in that context, Shever means that he's the giver to Mitzrayim, but Shever is a lashon of Shvira. Yaakov Avinu saw from Eretz Canaan that there's a breaking to the klipa of Mitzrayim, that there was a Yid who took on the filthy lifestyle of the Mitzrayim, and when he confronted it, he broke it. And because he broke that taiva, he was the mashbir, he was the breaker, and he was the giver. Because these two midas go hand in hand. The only reason why we know this story of Yosef HaTzadik is because the Torah tells us. And Yaakov knew Baruch HaKadosh that this thing had happened. But if not for that, we wouldn't know the story. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors in the life of Yosef HaTzadik. We don't know what went on behind closed doors of Reb Shaila. We know the chesed and we know the toiv sign of Reb Shaila, but we don't know that hidden world of Reb Shaila, just like we don't know the hidden world of many tzaddikim. But in the cheder Reb Shaila, you didn't see that he was the best Baal Tefillah, you didn't see that he was saying the best Torahs. You saw that he was giving out, but you didn't see anything special by him, although you knew he was a great tzaddik and he was poyel yeshuas for people, but nobody knew the real Reb Shaila. Ein sar beis haseyar reyes kol ma'uma biyadai. Nobody knew anything. He didn't see anything. Reb Shaila knew that nobody saw. But he quoted the pasuk of Yosef HaTzadik because he represented this mida of Yosef HaTzadik. He was the Yosef HaTzadik in his time. He was the one who was giving. But it was only the Devei Chaims of the generations, the Baal Ruach HaKodesh, who were able to see what's going on secretly in the world of Reb Shaila. Did they know that he became the mashbir because he was a mashbir? And I think this is the pshat of the Mishnah Avos, which we did this week. It says, Yoisi ben Yoichanan, his name is Yoisi, by the way, Yishu Yerushalayim Aymer, Yehei Beischa Pasuach Lirvacha, that your home should be open in all directions. And aniyim should be like bnei bayis in your home. This is Reb Shaila. This Mishnah is speaking about Reb Shaila. It's the fifth Mishnah in the first paragraph of Avos. That your home should be open from all four directions, and the aniyim were bnei bayis. They were bnei bayis by him. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, says Reb Yaisi, Va'al tar besicheim ha'isha. Don't speak so much to women. Your wife, Chazal said that about Kavachemer, your friend's wife. And anybody who speaks too much to women, it's not good, and they're going to be mevatel from the Beit Torah. What is the connection between these two members from Rabbi Yosef? That your home should be open to all Yidden, and be careful how you speak to your friend's wife. But Rabbi said these two things go hand in hand. You can invite all the Yidden into your home, and have your doors open in all four directions. But unless a person is a person who's working on his midas hakedusha, that he's careful from where he looks and he's careful from how he talks and he wants to be a kadosh, you can open up your doors from all directions. You can invite everybody there, but you have nothing to give them. Who's giving you to give? Who's going to make you the mashbir if you're not a mashbir? By the Levi Reb Shaila. So of course, there were thousands upon thousands who had come. And one of the people who had came was the local post officer. And he told them a chiddush which nobody knew. Every day, so many parcels of mail I delivered to Reb Shaila, of pidyon nefeshes and money which was given to Reb Shaila from all over. All over people were sending money and kfitlach to Reb Shaila. It still didn't, by the way, account for everything which he needed to do for the people. But what you also don't know is that as much mail as I gave Reb Shaila, he sent out three times as much every day. That whatever he was receiving, which was a lot of money, he was sending out to people around the world three times as much money as he was getting. Where did he get that money from? Who knows? But not only was he taking care of people locally who had come to him, he had his eyes throughout the world. He was able to see people who needed and sending back to people who had sent to him and taking care of. It wasn't just what was going on in the house, but it was the local postman who needed to tell the Talmidei Chachamim and all the people of Kerestir and beyond what was going on a little bit in the secret world of Reb Shaila. Whatever we saw on the surface, we could tell the stories about it. But for the real tzaddikim, they live in their Dalet Amos of Ein Sar Beis Asoy Roya Meruma. Nobody could see anything. And you can go to the Kever. I know for many people who was there on our trip to Kerestir that they felt that the highlight was going to Kerestir. Rav Imerger says this too. There's just something. You can't explain what goes on in Kerestir. You can't explain it. There's just something special. But even in the lifetime of Reb Shaila, you couldn't explain what was going on in Kerestir. Because the math didn't add up. The results didn't add up. And still till today, that makom has a roshim de kedusha, that people are still being fed, and there's still chesed which is taking place there. And it's become a makom which is muktash l'chesed. So a very, very unique tzaddik. And the b'schus of Reb Shaila, that all those who need, the gashmis and beruchnias, who are mashbir, within the b'schus, should continue to give, the Rebbeinu Shalom should continue to give more b'shefa, and more b'shefa, especially in trying times, that his yortzeit falls out in this tkufa, and in the same way that in the tzaris that Yidden had all over the world, he was able to provide and to give non-stop, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and his chos, and his chos of all the tzaddikim, his yortzeit it is, and it will be, shebezeichet, to be Paul Yeshua, v'gashmi, v'ruchni, v'chol Yisrael.